This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
Thank you for being with us on The Vedic Wisdom. I'd like to talk to you today about abortion. Now, there's several concepts and concerns, and the reason I'm bringing it up is I've recently read an article where they're talking about fourth trimester abortion. Now, we know that the gestation period of a human is divided into three periods, trimesters, and that during the latter trimester, the child is fully conscious, pretty conscious in the womb, is moving, making noises even sometimes, and can be seen to be moving and pretty fully developed, preparing for birth. So what is the fourth trimester? Well, if we go back and we look at the first trimester, it's 1/3 of the pregnancy. If a pregnancy is 9 months, it's 3 months. So it's the first 3 months, the second 3 months, the final 3 months, birth, and now they're supposedly saying a fourth trimester, which is up to 3 months old, or 3 months of age, that you can abort the child. Well, after the third trimester, it's called birth. And the child is no longer a fetus. It's a person. Now, I'm not getting into the legal definition of when it actually becomes a person or when it doesn't. According to the Vedic literature, it is actually a person at conception. But that's another subject. We're talking about the concept that the child is fully developed, the child has taken birth, the umbilical cord has been separated, the child is an independent entity, and it's now several months old, meaning it's been nursing, it's been taken care of, it's being cleaned, it's being medically cared for, and it's moving about, rolling over, giggling and laughing, what have you. But if you decide, oh, I don't want this child, they're trying to say that you can abort it up to 3 months old, and it's called abortion, and it would be legal. Now, this is not abortion. This is called murder. If I go and I say, I don't like your child, and I want to kill your child, it's murder. If the child is a week old or is 29 years old, it's still murder. So the idea that there would be a man-made law that would suddenly consider this to be an acceptable act of abortion is immoral. There is no justification. It's actually illegal. It's actually immoral. It's an adult using their superior strength to kill an innocent creature, a child, a human child. Now, this is not good. This is not human. A human being would never do that. It's murder. For centuries, it's punishable. You either go to prison or you get put down yourself for killing children. We have this through society, through times. A woman goes crazy and kills her kids. Oh, my goodness. A man goes crazy and kills his kids, kills his wife, kills himself. Oh, my goodness. These things are not accepted by society, acceptable by the Lord, acceptable in any way. And to actually go and write a law and say, now this is going to be legal, doesn't change that. This is a fallible law that leads to the degradation of society. And this is where I want to go with this subject. Oh, excuse me. What is the ramifications? What is the result of killing someone? Now, according to the Vedic literature, if I kill someone, they have the right, they get the right immediately to kill me. In a later life, or later in my life, or at some other time, in another birth, in another century, the opportunity for them to kill me arises. That is the natural law. For every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. Now, in our Vedic scriptures, it's called karmic reaction. So if I kill, I am subject to being killed. And it doesn't say if I kill a person. It says if I kill and shorten, cut anybody's lifespan. I'm not supposed to go around killing bugs. I'm not supposed to go around killing animals. I'm not supposed to go around killing cows, killing cats. I'm not supposed to go around killing kids. I'm not supposed to go around killing. Jesus Christ said that. Thou shalt not kill. They've tried to change it into the word murder so that they can kill anything else, but they shouldn't kill another man. But Christ didn't say that. The original scriptures didn't say that. The Vedic scriptures don't say that. The Buddhist scriptures don't say that. It says don't kill. There are many examples of Buddhist societies where they take the time to remove all the ants and worms and little creepy crawly critters and relocate them before they build a temple on that site. This is the Buddhist ahimsa, nonviolence. There are societies that go out of their way to avoid unnecessarily killing. I mean, look at an ant hill. It's a complete society. Thousands and thousands and thousands of people living there, cooperating to sustain each other and themselves in whatever environment, sometimes amazing environments, to feed and house and protect and give birth to more progeny in their particular species. So for you to come in and just mass slaughter the whole thing, it's still murder. So don't kill. This is a religious injunction in almost every religion. Don't kill. Needless killing is wrong. And there is a reaction. If you decide, oh, I don't care about your religious scripture. I don't care about being moral. I don't care about doing the right thing. I'm just going to go on and kill whatever I want if it gets in my way. You will be held accountable by the laws of nature for equal. There's an equal and opposite reaction to every action. And according to the Vedic literature, that extends to where you are held responsible for those that you kill on your own account that you already know isn't right and you shouldn't have done it, but you did. And that living entity has the opportunity to kill you. So you can see that it's pretty important we understand these concepts and principles and we do our best not to kill unnecessarily. Because you will be held responsible. There is no question. If you touch fire, you're burnt. That's a law of nature. If you kill, that entity will have a chance to kill you. It's a law of nature. So, well, let's take a look at what's going on in our society. We are daily killing millions of animals to eat. That means that everybody is implicated. Every meat eater is implicated in the killing process. No, you didn't take your knife and behead the chicken, but you had it done for you and packaged for you and delivered for you and cooked for you and you've taken it. You're in the crime. So almost all of the human race is implicated in this killing on a daily basis for many years. So there's a huge possibility of a war. And in the war, many of these humans will be killed as a karmic reaction. Similarly, abortion has been made legal. But it's still a parent killing a child. It is by nature supposed to nurture. And now they're saying you can kill the child not only when it is in the womb, not only when it's ready to be born, but up to 3 months after it's been born. Killing of a child, a baby. Historical events where mad, insane rulers have gone around killing all the children because they didn't like their species or they were afraid of someone who was supposed to have been prophesied to be born among them. And history and humanity, they are abhorred. How could such a horrible thing be done by a king or a ruler throughout history? Well, now it's done by abortion clinics. They go in and try to sterilize, synthesize the experience that it's okay. But the act is still the same. An innocent child is being killed daily, more and more daily. Several hundred thousand in this little country. I think I saw a thing the other day, every 9 minutes a child is aborted. Well, this is not look good for the future of the human race. We're implicated in the animal killing. We're implicated in child killing. We're implicated in a variety of exterminations of plants and bugs. Pesticides are one of the massive businesses on the planet. Things that kill plants and trees and birds. They use 1080 poison to kill possums, and it kills all the innocent birds. You think you're not going to be held responsible? You think you can kill a child when it's just 3 months old and you're not going to be held responsible? So we can understand that these types of irresponsible acts are going to cause war and worse. Because if you're implicated in this personally on a regular basis, you're propagating, you're encouraging abortion. You're performing. You're directly in line for the comedic reaction. And you can see the same thing is true in your implications if you're involved and attached to the animal slaughter, the agricultural slaughter that goes on. Well, the Vedic literature says this is all very dangerous. It's very dangerous for your consciousness because you incur this negative karma and it starts to form a veil over your good sense, your good intelligence. And it's foreboding for your future because this reaction will come back one day or another. And many times people feel quite different after they do it than they did before. Oh yeah, I'll kill that. Sure, go ahead. I'll kill it. Hold it down. And then after they kill it, they go, that was terrible. That was suffering. It was a loss of, I feel terrible about this. Why'd I do that? And it scars them. There are many women who've had abortions and they're scarred because of it, feeling guilty. So we have to, as individuals, we have to, as human beings, we have to rise above the immoral laws created by demonic governments that have nothing in mind but control and money. They've lost their intelligence and they've legalized all of the horrible things they should be protecting society from. Many things have been made legal by these demonic governments that run the world. And now they're waging war. The Western countries are out there bombing people in their homes, destroying cities, destroying nations because they want their natural resources or because they don't like their religion. Or because they don't like their leader. They don't go kill the leader. They kill thousands and thousands and thousands of people in the country. They didn't do anything. This is immoral. This human society is killing its way into the very things it doesn't want. You don't want war and starvation. You don't want to be tortured. You don't want to live a hellish life. You don't want troops checking your papers when you want to go to the grocery store. You don't want oppression. But yet, you'll go on and engage in, or accomplice to, or in denial of, these types of heinous acts that the demonic governments are trying to say to you, it's okay. Go ahead. We'll make it legal. Their making it legal does nothing to relieve you of the karmic reaction for a heinous act. So the mother is supposed to nurture the child. That's what it is. That's what she does. The semen and the eggs mix to produce fertility. The fertility produces the body. The child, the living entity, takes refuge in the body. The body is in refuge in the mother's womb. And the mother is giving protection. Just by being there in the womb and her protecting her life, she's automatically protecting the child's life. So she's nurturing and protecting from the time she conceives. And the natural tendency of a woman is grace and love and compassion. That's the wonderful aspects and the wonderful side of women. Their open heart, kind, simplicity. It's a wonderful characteristic. It breathes humanity into the world. But if she's been lied to, you don't have to protect that. Kill it. Don't take responsibility, because if it takes birth, it's a mouth to feed. It's someone you have to care about and love. It's helpless, you know. Kill it. This gives society a very bad conception and a very bad future. So there's a few things that we can learn from just the morality principles of the scriptures on the planet, especially the Vedic literature, that we should not engage in these activities thinking we will not be held responsible. And aborting and killing a child, particularly the child of the person you love. The man loves the woman loves the man, the union brings about the conception of a living being, the birth of a child that reflects the divine love of the parents. It's stated in the Vedic literature, that state of consciousness that the parents are in at the time of conception affects the consciousness and the intelligence of the child to be born. In the Vedic literature, purificatory processes are prescribed before and during conception and during and at birth. That it's to be considered a holy, spiritual, loving, responsible moment in your lives. The birth of a child. Very auspicious for the family. The birth of a child. The child comes innocent and brings hope and inquiry. It brings joyful laughter. It brings opportunity of affection. Untold moments of laughter and affection and love. Untold moments of joy. So it's auspicious for a family. Why would one want to stop that? Because you've been told economically it's going to be hard, and because you've been told it's legal. So don't take the responsibility. You'll talk to anyone who has had children, and they say, children make you grow up. When you have a child and you have to take responsibility, you have to grow up. You have to readjust your priorities. You have to relook at your morality. You have to relook at your selfishness and turn it into selflessness. It makes you grow as a human. It makes you mature as a person. And it rewards you with happiness, love, and affection beyond what you would expect. There's many, 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 many uncountable instances of a woman saying, oh, I just can't believe how wonderful it is to have a child. My first child is so wonderful. But we're being trained by demonic governments, demonic health boards, criminals in white coats, that killing children is okay. Where does it say in any scripture on the planet, any of God's laws, any book of morality, where does it say killing innocent children is good? But we have crazy demonic governments that are trying to say, well, it's legal now. Legal by what? By your fake law, by your concocted statements? We believe it's legal to this point. And that's my point today. They're saying fourth trimester is legal abortion. A child can be 3 months old and legally killed by its parents, and there's no punishment. Oh, yes, there's punishment. I guarantee you. That's killing of a child. That's not abortion. This is the sanitization of it they're trying to do. These demonic governments are very tricky. They try to twist words all the time. That's what the news is. The news media is a trickery methodology where they don't use the correct terms for things on purpose, so that they can convince you to do things that if you had it in correct terms, you'd go, I won't do that. So they're trying to say you can do an abortion. But if they said you can kill children, you'd go, no way. So this is the trickery of the demonic governments. This is the trickery of the illusion of the society we live in now. Be warned. Be cautious. Be moral. Be spiritual. Be advised. The laws of nature bend for no one. They are strict on every person. If you touch fire, you will be burned. That is a law of nature. No consideration of anything about you. Similarly, you kill babies, you kill animals, you kill anything. There is a reaction. You will be held responsible. So, wake up to your responsibility as a human being. It is to be compassionate. Don't believe the laws to give you relief from moral responsibility. Don't think that fourth trimester makes sense. It's not true. All right, it's the fourth third. What? This is the trickery of the society we live in. You have to keep yourself astute and committed to your own vows, your own religious principles, your own higher conception of right and wrong. And you must consult the scriptures. We advise you, please read the Vedic literature, Bhagavad Gita as it is, by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada's books are described as the law books for this human civilization for the next 10,000 years. These books contain moral codes and spiritual knowledge, transcendental information, historical evidence, examples of the Lord's will, wishes, activities, friends, paraphernalia, associates, pastimes, everything of the highest order, the highest standard, the total purity based on, written by, completely encompassed by devotion to the Supreme Lord. That is Vedic literature. It is not something you have to try to figure out what they mean. It's in plain, honest language. You can understand what is meant. You can understand the point. And you can glean vast knowledge rapidly that helps you in your life to become the truthful, compassionate, intelligent human. And you can live a life of piety, and you can raise yourself to be qualified to return to the spiritual world after the end of this material life. As we've discussed many times on this program, this is not our home. This is a temporary place. We are eternal beings, and our home is in an eternal place. That is called the kingdom of God. That is called the spiritual manifestation. This is the material manifestation. Our home is in the spiritual manifestation. We are spiritual beings. We have temporary lives in these temporary bodies. But our real life is eternal love of God, eternal consciousness, eternal bliss and knowledge in the eternal spiritual manifestation. Don't allow the demonic people who are running the governments to set your standards and stop you from returning to the spiritual world. We don't want a big closet, skeletons in your closets, stopping you from getting the opportunity to go back home, back to Godhead. You must read the Vedic literature and learn how to purify yourself.
This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.